everyone. Welcome back to episode 5
of the Camera Shack
Podcast. I'm your host, Logan, and today we're going to talk about the crazy time I decided to rent an anamorphic lens for photography. So, if you don't know, an anamorphic lens, okay, so there's two main type of lenses, right? A spherical lens and an anamorphic lens. You can think of a spherical lens as basically almost every lens that you normally come across is a spherical lens, right? It's round, I guess you could say, right? An anamorphic lens is oval, and it basically stretches the image inwards. And why it's used and all this other stuff, you know, there's like 2 hour long videos dedicated to talking about all this kind of stuff about it. So just to kind of keep it short, it basically allows you to have a wider field of view while taking up the same amount of image size area. So if you imagine a projector, right, and you have film for it, it's a fixed size. And if you want your movie to have a wide frame of view, you know, a very stretched, like a 16 by 10, for instance, frame of view, but your film is only 4 by 3, so it's more square, then you can attach an anamorphic lens and it will compress your image to fit on the film. And then when you play it back in the theater, you can attach a reverse anamorphic lens and it de-squeezes it. Now they still make anamorphic lenses, and they're used quite a bit in movies. A very great example would be John Wick. John Wick is shot on a anamorphic lens. And one of the big key ways that you can tell is there's a lot of big blue streaks in the image where any lights is. So if you see like light in the background, there's like big blue streaks going along the horizon of the light. That's usually a very strong indicator that it was shot on an anamorphic lens. As a side note, John Wick, those blue streaks aren't, I believe it's for the second movie. I could be mistaken on this, but I'm pretty sure that while it was shot on an anamorphic lens, I guess they're using too fancy of an anamorphic lens that did not have very good flaring like that. So they added a lot of that blue flare in post. So take that what you will. Any rate though, I'd always wanted to try out an anamorphic lens. The problem is that because it's such a specialty lens, it's very expensive. Usually, like, quote, a very cheap anamorphic lens is like $3,000. So I eventually found this place, Lens Rental. I believe it's lensrental.com. And they allow you to rent a variety of camera equipment, lenses, etc. And for whatever reason, I think it was like 3 a.m. I don't know. I was like, I'm going to rent an anamorphic lens. And what's funny is the majority of what I did with the lens was photography. I don't think I took any videos with it. So I ended up only taking photos too, because it was basically really rainy for almost the entire duration I had it. So I rented it for 7 days, and for all 7 days plus shipping, the shipping was $30. It cost $206, including the shipping. I have no idea. That was pretty much a waste of $200, because I ended up getting sick under the weather during the time right before it was supposed to arrive, and for the most of the duration that I had it. And for a few of the days, it was really rainy and stuff like that. So I got very little time to actually use the lens. So that really kind of sucked. So what I actually rented was a Vazen, V-A-Z-E-N. It was a 40 millimeter T2 1.8 anamorphic lens for a Canon RF mount. So 1.8 anamorphic means that it squishes the image inwards by 1.8 times. So if normally what you're capturing was, we'll just say for easy numbers, if normally it was 20 inches wide, okay, on the camera, if it was a 2x anamorphic lens, it would be 10 inches wide instead. The image would only be 10 inches wide. In this case, it was 1.8, so it'd be whatever 20 times. It'd be 20 divided by 1.8, I believe. However you do that math. Anyways, you get the point. You get the point. So then it's T2. So if you don't know, cameras have the f-stops, you know, like f2, f4, whatever. And in the cinema world, a lot of cinema lenses are rated T's instead of F's. It's essentially the same thing, but it's just a lot more standardized. So that way, if you have a lens that's set to T2, you have another lens set to T2, you're more guaranteed to have the same amount of light being let into the camera than, say, with a photography F2. And then it was a 40 millimeter lens. So I essentially went out. I guess I was just feeling rebellious and mostly shot pictures with the lens. So it was a manual focus lens. So you have to, it's incredibly tricky. So with my Canon camera, I had a Canon camera, RF mount, it does not have the feature to de-squish your image, okay, when you're looking at it. So like on my, I have a Blackmagic 6K and it has a anamorphic de-squeeze function. So you click it, the preview of the image will be like you've already de-squished the image. Like it just looks normal, but stretched. On my Canon camera, I don't have that feature. So I'm looking at the images coming from the lens and it's squished in by two times the amount. And it's a manual focus. So I have to looking, this lens, I tell you what, does it say on this thing? This lens, just to give some context, was massive. I mean, it was probably 4 to 5 inches wide. It was probably 6 inches long. And I bet you it was 2 to 3 pounds. 3 pounds is I almost guarantee it was 3 pounds. And so like it's way bigger and heavier than my camera, right? So I basically am like holding, I basically attached the camera to the lens instead of the other way around. And so now I have to now take a photo holding this giant lens, trying to focus it with the image squished. So it was definitely one heck of an experience. And there was a lot of just kind of guessing. Especially because my camera is a full frame camera. But this lens is a Super 35 lens. So it did not cover the entirety of my Canon sensor. So that means there was a heavy amount of vignetting around it. So I guess it just added to it. I have like framing your photo is basically like borderline impossible because you have to kind of pick where you're, so because it's vignetting, right? You're basically going to see a oval or, a black oval around, the edges of your image. So you have to figure out how much you're going to crop the top and the bottom and the left and the right in order to get an image with no, black corners. But because it's a anamorphic lens, is squished down by 2x. So you have to do that cropping with that in mind in your head while looking at the image, which is incredibly difficult to do. And you have to focus it, and you have to hold the lens. So that was definitely quite difficult. I had finally started feeling better. I was just a little under weather. It might have just been allergies. So I had went up to the fire station because they were doing some open house kind of stuff, and took some photos of the fire trucks as they had them roaring around and stuff like that, and got some pretty cool photos of the fire trucks and them doing some little activities and stuff like that. That was pretty cool. The photos themselves turned out pretty well. At the fire station, at least, there wasn't really any blue streaks in any of the images, just because it turns out you need a really harsh, bright light to really kind of get those blue streaks to come up. So I think in one of the images from the fire station, there is a small blue streak in one of the lights, but it's not really evident. I'd also went to the Air Force Museum and took some photos there, and a lot of those photos do have the big blue streaks, like really big, really nice streaks in them. And it's because a lot of the lights and the hangars are very bright. They're very harsh, and so it really helps to have those blue streaks come out. So overall, would never rent it again. Would never rent it again. But it was definitely a fun and interesting experience, to say the least. It definitely wasn't worth the cost. But I don't regret it. And the photos definitely look very different. Very different. Like the way the grain and just because the stretch, it just looks different compared to all my other photos I've taken in the past. So it definitely had a unique perspective on the photography, like the way the image looks and stuff like that. But, you know, I think for how much trouble it was to focus and frame and crop, that it just didn't really make sense to really continually do it. So I'm glad I didn't rent for more than 7 days, because I think more than that, it would have been kind of too much. I think it probably would have been really cool on some like videography kind of stuff, shooting some cool views and stuff like that. But I didn't have anything really lined up on that. And I tried to get one or two things lined up, and everything kind of fell through on that. So I didn't really get to take any cool videos of anything. But overall, I think renting from... Let me confirm. Lensrentals.com is where I rented from. That I definitely want to rent a lens or two in the future from them. They were a pretty cool company. They shipped it in a big Peloton case, and so the lens was perfectly secure. And yeah, I mean, as far as the company themselves, they're pretty nice. And they have other gear and stuff like that. So I've thought about renting a camera from them, like renting like a I really would love to do is rent like a Red Komodo. Obviously, once again, it comes back to, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I'm not going to rent a Red Komodo from Lens Rental, because that would be hundreds of dollars. We'll look it up right now. Komodo. I think it was like $200 or $300 for just the bare bones kit. Okay, I lied. It's $410 for just the body. That doesn't include any cables, any mounting, any SD card, not SD card, like SSD cards. So yeah, I mean, it's basically incredibly impractical, but it'd be really cool, you know, to rent something like that from there one day. But probably never happen. So. If you haven't already, you should check me out on Instagram at TheLoganR. I've been posting a lot of great photos on there recently, and I would love it if you could check it out, like a few photos, and follow me. Thanks. Something else I've been playing with over the past couple of months is a cool little site called Night Cafe. So it's basically a really cool website where you can generate art by using just keywords. So an example would be, you could say a fox jumping over the moon, right? You write that in the text, and then it will attempt to generate a painting that is just like just a fox jumping over the moon. And if that makes sense. I don't think I'm explaining this very well, but basically it's been trained, so it's an artificial intelligence, and what they do is they have like a database of, like, I don't know, we'll say 100,000 pieces of art from all across, you know, the internet, famous paintings and stuff like that, and they all have a title, okay, and a bunch of key word like tags, like this is paint, this is drawing. And so then they train their artificial intelligence, you know, this is, you know, given this set of keywords, this is what the painting should look like, or, you know, etc. And then over time, it eventually, like, learns how to create art based off of those keywords. So I've tried a wide array of different terms and just trying to really get very specific and creative. So let me pull up the right thing here. Let's see if it will work. All right, we're pause. Please pause. Why are we not? Let me pull this up. Okay, so I guess we're just not going to pull this up. No, we're going to pull this up. I'm pranking you guys. Maybe we're not going to pull this up. I think I know how to get to pull up. Sorry for this dead air here, guys. I would edit this out, except, you know, this is, I've been committed. This is a no editing out dead air podcast. Okay, so some great examples, all right? The title, A Purple Lightning Storm on an Alien Planet on Art Station. And it generates a painting that looks, you know, spectacularly crazy. You know, let me try and describe this to you. If imagine a thunderstorm, okay, like you're in the sky looking down a thunderstorm, but the clouds all have a purple cast to them, like there's like a vivid purple cast, and there's like white lightning all around it, and it's being all turning around a central purple hued object. I mean, it's really crazy. It's really hard to even
explain what it is. Okay, so some other ones. A cat warehouse driving a forklift. And I mean, this is pretty crazy. It obviously it's not like realistic, but like you could discern these shapes, and it looks like a warehouse with forklifts, and there are like, they don't look like cats per se. They kind of look like I can tell it's a cat because I wrote the prompt cat. If I did not know it's a cat, I'd probably look at it and be like, what in the world is that? It looks like a big lump of hair or something. I mean, it doesn't look like a cat. Like, you can tell us a cat if you knew it's a cat. If you don't know it's a cat, you can't tell us a cat. But for going off such little, you know, effort, here's another one. A lit cyberpunk match about to explode at the last light of dusk. The image looks nothing like that prompt, but the image looks spectacular. It looks almost like imagine the top of a flat chest, right, with like gold embroidered edges and a marble, like a ring of marbles. So like four marbles that are like in a square, like together, if that kind of makes sense, like they're touching, and there's a ring on top. But it has like a depth of field to it. So like the four marbles, the marble, if you imagine it's like a diamond, the frontmost marble is in focus, and then the two marbles on the side of it are like slowly going out of focus. And then like the front of the chest, you can barely see it, the corner of it, but it's also going out of focus. And I mean, it doesn't really match the prompt, but still it's like insane that this is art is just generated out of his mind. And you know, I've tried tons and tons and tons of different prompts, and it gives out like really cool, crazy results. Here's a great one that I tried. Last light of the abyss deep underwater. Right? And it looks like, it's hard to explain, but basically looks like the image is mostly like a blue, dark blue cyan color. And at the bottom, going up towards the middle, is almost looks like black rock or like black coral. But then as you go out further, it kind of like gets more misty almost into the view of the ocean. And I mean, it looks like almost as if, because like in the top left corner, there's like light, like that's where the most of the cyan is coming from, and it's like shining down into it, and it looks almost as if you went scuba diving. I don't know about scuba diving, but like scuba diving like 5 feet underneath, like beneath the water, but you're like at the mouth of a cave. That's kind of how it looks. So I just wanted to quickly add like a little section here about this little site. Night Cafe is what it's called. Google Night Cafe, you can find it. There's also a subreddit. I think it's r/Night Cafe, where you can see all these cool images that people have just been trying to generate. Like, they'll just throw all kinds of keywords and all kinds of stuff in there, and you can see some of the results that people are getting. So they've been slowly adding new features. Recently, they added a feature to do video generation. So you give it a keyword, it'll generate an initial image. Then you can tell it to move the image left, right, up, or down, like so many pixels. And then click go, and it would generate, it would basically move the image slightly and generate just that little section of pixels. So basically, it gives the appearance that the image is actually like moving left or right or zooming in and out. It's a really cool effect. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed, please check out some of my other episodes. Also, please share this podcast with some of your friends. I would love to grow the audience for it. If you'd like to leave any comments or suggestions to me, feel free to send me a message on Instagram @TheLoganR. I would love to hear from you guys. Thanks.